learn about Jesus. Man, showers of blessings. Man, are we getting blessed or not with these showers? The folks over in Corsicana might say, well, you know, we could do a little bit less of the blessing, but, you know, because when it's so much that it washes a train off the tracks, it's a little bit much. But God is still answering our prayers. We pray for rain, we get it. We pray for healing, we get it. We pray for those to get a job, they get a job. When we pray, God moves. It's because of our faith. It's because we believe. But the question this morning is, how much do we really, really believe? How much of the Bible do we believe? How much of God's truth do we believe? I want to talk to you about a man that's a lot like we are. His name is Thomas. He was one of the 12 apostles, men that were handpicked by Jesus himself to do the ministry that he had on earth, the time he had to share with us and share with this world. Thomas was a man that loved the Lord. He served with him. He ate with Jesus. He talked with Jesus every day. He was not unlike any other of the apostles. He was just like the same disciples, Peter, John, all of them. They all loved each other. They all loved Jesus. But there was a time Jesus appeared to the disciples after his death. And he talked to them and he ate with them. But there was one guy that wasn't there that day. His name was Thomas. For the Bible doesn't say where Thomas was, what Thomas was doing. He was just probably doing life like we are today. He was just living. But this is a time in the disciples' life where they were discouraged. They were confused because Jesus was gone. The man that they had been following for years, and it just all of a sudden, now he's not here. Jesus appeared to the man and he showed him. He ate with him. He said, I just want you to know that I am still alive. I'm still doing God's work. I'm still in this world. And I'm still with you to help you with the mission that I've commissioned you with. Man, were they excited. Can you imagine how those guys felt that morning when Jesus appeared to them? How excited they were. I mean, they were just absolutely beside themselves with encouragement and strength. They were renewed. They were revived. They were full. Thomas walks in and he said, man, you're not going to believe what just happened. And they start telling the story about Jesus appearing, how he talked to them. They shook hands. They ate together. Thomas not being any different than any one of us, can you imagine how he felt? Can you imagine the question that he had for himself? Well, what did I do wrong that I didn't get to experience that? Why didn't Jesus appear to me? Why did Jesus choose to appear when I couldn't be there for whatever reason? He's really like a lot of us. He wanted proof. Let's look in the Bible in John 20. Let's read the story right quick. John 20, 19. We're going to be reading 10 verses to the 29th. John 20, 19. The Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again, he said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so am I sending you. Then he breathed on him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, we've seen the Lord. He replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side. See, he was a lot like us. We want proof. We want to believe, but we want proof. 8 days later, it says, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. And the doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. You know, the Lord could have really jumped on him and said, you know, man, all the time I spent with you, you didn't really believe who I was. You didn't really trust me. You know, he could have shamed him in front of all the other guys, but he didn't. He had compassion. He said, here, look, here it is, and here's my side. Don't be faithless anymore, any longer, believe. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Thomas exclaimed, then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Why it happened that Thomas was not there with the disciples when Jesus came the first time, we'll never know. Because the scripture doesn't say why he wasn't there. But it could have been any one of the other disciples. We call him Doubting Thomas because he doubted who Jesus was, and he doubted that he had been raised from the dead. He doubted that he walked among them and they got to fellowship with him. It could have been any one of them. And they probably would have reacted exactly the same way. And he asked, why didn't he appear to me? I want to see Jesus for myself. Jesus appeared, although before they appeared, every one of them really struggling with their belief. They were really struggling with what God was doing to them because they felt like, in a way, they had been abandoned. The man that they had trusted was no longer with them. And to have him come back and show himself and say, I'm not dead. In the back of their minds, they had to be thinking, I saw him die. I saw him hanging on the cross. I'm not dead. But most of every single one of them were in a state of doubt. Jesus addressed this whole thing by saying, you know, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. You know, we are a truly blessed generation. We have everything that there is to have, we have. We have food, we have cars, we have houses. God blesses us with families. He blesses us with jobs. He blesses us with a Christian nation, which, y'all, by the way, is nothing we need to take for granted, because we've had a Christian nation for hundreds of years. Now, Christianity is coming under attack, isn't it? Everything we believe is coming under attack. I saw a little video on TV, then the news, when I watched it this morning. This young man, he ran down, he made a touchdown, and he just pointed his finger up to the Lord, and he got flagged for it. Ref throwed his flag. Because it was excessive celebration. It was offensive to the other team. He was taunting them with his celebration. We are coming under attack as Christians. But do we really, really believe? We say we're Christians. We come to church. Even on a bad day, when I say a bad day, a day like today when it's not convenient, when it's cool and it's wet and it's easy for us to stay home, but you decided this morning to come and be in God's house. Thank you. I'm sure God is pleased that you're here this morning. We are a blessed generation, and we are like Thomas, sometimes have a lack of faith. Because if we didn't really have a lack of faith, if we really didn't believe everything that we know is true, everything that we know God said is true and what has happened, would we live the way we live? I'm telling you, does your life reflect the fact that Jesus died for you? Does your life reflect that you said, I'm a believer and I'm going to follow Jesus? Is your life the life you're living every single day? Are you living it for Christ? Or are you living it for yourself? Our actions speak louder than words, don't they? Our actions, what we do and what we say, speaks volumes more than what comes out of our mouth. So when he says, have faith, you know, don't be faithless anymore, what does that mean? What does faith really mean? The Bible has an answer for us this morning. I don't have to come up with it. It's right here. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the confidence that what we hope will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And the Bible says that it's impossible to please God without faith. When we say we have faith in God, all it simply means is that we believe that He exists, that He sent His Son to die for us on the cross, and then He was raised from the dead, and now lives with the Father in heaven at His right hand. And He is working in our lives daily through the work of the Holy Spirit. And that He did all this for one reason, because He loves us. I'm telling you, faith itself is the foundation. It's the glue that holds everything together in our Christian walk. It keeps it in balance. Our faith is what makes us strong. Our faith is what makes us do everything we do to please God the Father. It's our faith in God. In faith that He is coming back again, that we not only serve Him, but we love each other unconditionally. Without faith, every bit of it just falls apart, doesn't it? Every bit of our Christian life, what we say we believe, without faith, it all disappears. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He's not saying follow me, Lynn Kemp. He's not saying following anyone else, but he's saying follow me, Jesus. If you love me and you have faith, you will follow me and do what I tell you to do, what I'm asking you to do. Because He and He alone is worthy of our faith. He alone is worthy of our praise. We love Him because He first loved us. We really don't know what love means unless we see what unconditional love looks like. And that's God sending the only Son that He had. The only Son He ever is going to have. He sent Him to die on the cross for us because He loved us so much. Now that is unconditional love. That's loving you even when you're unlovable. It's loving me when I am doubtful, when I'm just a sorry excuse for a believer. He still loves me unconditionally. When I don't even act like it, He still loves me. It's not for my glory that He does things in this world. It's not for my glory that when I pray and He answers my prayer, it's not for me to get swelled up and say, man, look what I did. I prayed and somebody got a job. I prayed and somebody got healed. That's not for me. It's not for my glory. It's all for His glory. Everything He does, He says, it points back to me, what I'm doing. When the congregation starts doing what it's supposed to do, it's not for us to go, yee-haw, boy, we are really a good congregation. We are a really good body of faith. Praise God, look how good we are. No, it's for His glory. We point back to Him. It's kind of like holding up a mirror this morning, and when you look at it, you do not see yourself. It's a reflection of Christ. You would see Jesus Himself in the mirror. That's what draws other people, by the way. It's not you. You know, we try to live our lives daily for Christ, and we tell people about the Lord. And what do you think it's magnetic personality that you're so likable that people are just drawn to you? They are drawn to you because of one reason. They see Jesus Christ in you. Not you personally. Because you're going to fail if they look at you too long. If you look at me and watch me, you're going to see something that it's going to drive you crazy. Because I'm human and I make mistakes. I sin every day. If you watch me, you're going to stumble. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will never, ever, ever stumble. Ever. What do you believe? How much do you believe this morning? Jesus is the reason that I serve this morning. The elders that serve with me are serving because they're serving Jesus. They're not serving me. The lay pastors that work with me are not serving for me. Not because I ask them, but because they believe who Jesus is and they're serving Him. Everything we do, as far as from a team member to a team leader to a lay pastor to an elder, is all done for one reason. It's because we love Jesus and we're thankful for what He did. We're thankful for our salvation. We're thankful that He died on the cross for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not so that we can get an attaboy. You know, we like to get that though, don't we? When you do something good, don't you just really like to get attention? Don't you just like to get the credit for it? You know, you do a good job, and all you really want sometimes is that little pat on the back to say, good job, son. Good job, daughter. Man, you did good. How proud I am of you for what you did. We live for that sometimes, don't we? How long does it really last, though? About the time it takes for them to take their hand off your back. That's how quick it's gone. Jesus should get all of the credit for what we do as believers, as Christians. In James 1:17 it says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. You might say to yourself, oh, well, I thought in Ephesians 6 it says, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. That if you work and then if you take credit for it, then you can brag about it. You can brag about your salvation. That's not what it's talking about here. It's talking about if you truly are a believer and you have faith in God, it's going to show by what you do. It's going to show by the works that you do. When there's something going on at the church, you'll know, you'll see the ones who are workers, because they're the one that hit the ground running. They're the ones that get things done. And I hate to say this, but in a lot of churches today, the same people are doing the same things over and over and again, and no one else gets involved. They stand back and they watch. Thank God it's not that way here. We constantly have people that are wanting to serve. We constantly have new people that are wanting to serve God and serve Jesus, serve the Lord and serve each other and serve this community. Not for their own glory, but for the glory of God. If you truly have faith in Jesus Christ, if you truly believe that He is the Son of God and He died for you, does your life show it? Do the words that come out of your mouth reflect that belief? If it's not, then it's time to put our faith into action. It's time to stand up as believers. It's time to no longer sit passively by and watch things go on in this country, in this community, in this church, and be okay with it. It's time to stand up and say, enough is enough. I no longer will stand by and let the beliefs, that the things that I say I believe, come under attack without standing up and telling the truth. If you truly believe that Jesus died for you, does your life reflect it? That's the message that God has this morning. Does your life truly reflect that you love me? Do you love me? That's the question this morning. Not me. Do you love Jesus? Do you want to serve Him? If you do, you say you do, then let your words put wings to your feet. Let your words build strength and hope in your heart. Let God strengthen you, guide you, and light the path that He wants you to walk. It's time, y'all, that we stop playing Christians. Stop using that word, Christians. You know where that word came from? The people who saw the first believers, they looked at the ones who were still serving Christ after His death. That word Christian in Greek means little Jesuses. They said, I see Jesus. There's a little of Jesus. There's Jesus in those. So they called them Christians because they were walking the walk. They weren't just talking it. Everything they did, they were so excited about their faith that they could not stand not to tell it. When Jesus appeared to the apostles, He walked in there. After He left, they couldn't contain their excitement. They were so excited that they had been with the Lord. Where is your excitement this morning? Are y'all happy to be here this morning? Are you excited about being a believer? Has the Holy Spirit come into you and filled you this morning? I use that term, but actually when we are saved, we get all the Holy Spirit we're going to get. I say that I use it slightly. I mean for it to say that when we are full of the Holy Spirit, it's when we have actually taken everything that's in us and moved out so that Christ can fill us up, so that the Holy Spirit fills us up. Because of sin and things that are in here, it's hard for us to be full because of life and because of sin and because of what we want instead of what God wants. How many wants to have a life that is so exciting, so moving, so controlled and so guided by the Lord that you just when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is just say, man, thank you, Lord God, that you saved me and I've got another day to serve you. If you truly believe that Jesus died for you and you accepted that, you accepted that payment for your death because you were the one that really deserved to die. But he died in your place. If you truly believe that and you've accepted that and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, then let your actions speak louder than the words that are coming out of your mouth. Do you hear me this morning? Do you hear what God's saying this morning? Not what I'm saying, but are you hearing through the Holy Spirit what he is saying in here to you? Let me shine. Let me do everything through you. Because see, we can do nothing except through the power of God that works through us. We're not the ones that drawing people to Christ through our magnetic personality, even though a lot of us have got that. Y'all got that. I can see Bobby over. He's so magnetic. Daryl, he's just so magnetic. Wendell, I mean, y'all are just, you've got the personality where people want to be around you. Miss Anita. But that's not it. It's the Christ in you that's living through you that people see and are drawn to. Let's start acting. Let's start walking. Let's start doing for the Lord this morning like we really believe it. Not just think it. Don't be doubting. Don't be a doubting Thomas. One that says, I have to have proof. Believe this morning and let your actions speak louder than your words. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning. It's not an easy word to speak, Lord, this morning. It's hard for us to take our lives and turn our back on what we want. It's hard for us to put ourselves and our goals and things on the back burner for you. Father, it will be worth it though if we trust wholly in you. If we put all of our family problems, our family needs, everything that's going on at our job, our workplace, at home, in this world, if we just trust you unconditionally and love you unconditionally, Father, how you can work through our lives. I pray that you would use each and every person that's here this morning, Lord. If someone's here and they don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they will not leave this morning, without leave this building, without receiving you. They may be sitting here this morning thinking, well, I am a Christian because I come to church. Father, you know that just because you come to church doesn't make you a Christian. I pray if they don't have Jesus in their heart, if they haven't been changed and made different inside, that they would not leave this morning without having that experience of you completely changing their life. through the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you this morning. I pray that we would be better servers for you, that we would be better believers, we would be better workers for you, Father. Not for our glory, but for yours. I just ask a special hand of protection for each and every one, Lord, that's here this morning, that heard your message and have committed, Lord, to serve you. That they would not come under attack, Lord, because I know that that's what the Satan wants. Satan does not want us to take our eyes off of our problems and ourselves and put our eyes and our full trust in you. He does not want, he is screaming and hollering right now, trying to get our attention away from you. I pray that that not happen this morning, Lord, that you would receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. It's good to have everyone here this morning. God.